to find it. There I am. I can hear myself now. If you don't have a copy of the scriptures, you're welcome to look up on the screen. John 15, beginning in verse 18, hear the word of the Lord. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you? A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. I've said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They'll put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to us. Amen. I invite you to take your Bibles, if you have one, turn to Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to be in a couple of different places at the beginning, but if you land in Matthew 5, that's a good place to land. Matthew 5, we continued the Sermon on the Mount. But I say unto you, today the guarantee of a blessed life. Now, if you just said that title, the guarantee of a blessed life, you might say, yes, all is going to be awesome and great. And everything is going to work out exactly like I want it to work out. It does, but in the proper perspective. You know, one of the most common ways to get people to join your group or to vote for you is to promise them something. And if you can promise them something for free, better yet. I'll do whatever it takes to get you to join me, to join my group, to join my church, to be a part of what I do. You know, churches often have slogans to catch people's attention because we're in the age of churches trying to get people to come. That's awesome. But many times it's with the wrong goal and the wrong perspective. Here is a list of some church slogans. Where people gather to worship, share, and learn. A growing church serving a growing community. Building people through a loving, caring fellowship. Building a church through loving and caring people. Hey, I'd like to be a part of that. Here's one. We build hope. Hey, we could take that, couldn't we? Living hope. Oh, here's a really good one. In the heart of the city, with the city at heart. Large enough to serve you, small enough to know you. Hey, that's kind of neat. The end of your search for a friendly church. Bill, I think you could put that to music. A place for you. I like this one. A historic building. We got to go there. It's a historic building. You know what ours would say? We ain't got a building. How's that? But we are gracious that God has allowed this place for us. 21st Century Church, come see our new building. Here's one, King James Version only. This one really says it all. The liberal religious alternative. And there's many more. We got to figure out some way to get people to come. The sad part about, and a lot of those are true, nothing wrong with that, as long as some of them are kind of weird, but the problem with some of that is it fails to tell the whole message. And God's living church sometimes turns into a business to just see how many people we can get in the door. And I think, too, that when we share Christ, we are tempted to woo people and not tell the whole story. I was reminded of Acts chapter 5, and you remember the story in Acts chapter 5, the Holy Spirit was sent and the church began, and I like to say the church continued and began, slash began, and Ananias and Sapphira lied. Remember that story? What did God do to husband and wife? He killed them. He took their lives for lying to him. Listen to this. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. And many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. And none of the rest dared join this church. Wow. Is that what we want in 2015? You know what? The people around this church knew that their God was God and their God meant business, and this was not a game. This was not a club. This was not an organization. This was not something you just joined to get better brownie points or to sell insurance if you're an insurance salesman, or a lot of people join churches to get business contact. They knew something serious is going on in the church of this Jesus who died, was buried, and rose again and ascended back to the Father. Nobody joined them. And the people held them in high esteem. However, verse 14 says, God was still working. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Isn't that amazing? That truth was being taught, sin was being judged. Many people said, we don't want a part of that, but many people's hearts were touched and born again. Not from a fancy slogan. Come to our church, and we'll give you a car. Tim and Linda, sorry. That's all I could think of. A new building. How about this? Come to our church and suffer. Ooh, I want to be a part of that. I really want to be a part of that. What would this church's slogan have been back there? If you lie, you die. Come to our church. I was driving on 41 or the Lloyd last night, and I noticed a big billboard. I think City Church has started as 2 years old, and it was a huge billboard, which those things cost a few thousand dollars just for those, and it said, old building, new church. Okay? I want to go there because it's an old building and it's a new church. I think it was a promotion for their dedication of the building. That's okay. I'm not knocking good things. Because Jesus, he didn't always just talk about persecution and suffering, did he? He offered, I'm the God of peace. There's peace. There's rest. There's forgiveness. There's eternal life. There's justification. But Jesus never left out this essential element of being a part of his church and being a part of the blessed life. And that was, you will suffer persecution. If you follow me as master in this dark world, you will suffer persecution. Because I am light and this is dark. I am the king. Satan's the false king, the liar king. He's the father of lies. He was a deceiver and a murderer from the beginning. And it's amazing when you look at the life of Jesus. He never made it easy. Listen to these words. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. Now, some people teach that this is just discipleship after you get saved. I don't believe that's what Jesus was saying at all. Now, it is a part of discipleship, but he was offering himself to people. He was not telling people, add me to your current religion. He was saying, you must disregard everything that you've believed if it's false and come to the cross, deny yourself and follow me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Don't just add me. Whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Luke 14, 25 to 27, If you love your father, your mother, your husband, your wife, your brother and sister more than me, you cannot be my disciple. Wow. What does that mean? I thought church was just a place where you had your name on a membership roll and, you know, you got cool stuff and you feel good because you went. No, it's not a game. Luke 18, when the rich young ruler came and asked the perfect question, what must I do to gain eternal life? How do you get eternal life? And I've said it a million times before. We'd have had him signed up, delivered. He'd been a deacon or a trustee or an elder in about a month. Wow, this is awesome. Not Jesus, because he saw the heart. That young man refused to believe he was a sinner. So Jesus tested him because he said, I've kept all the commandments. Oh, have you? Okay, here's a test. Sell everything you have and give to the poor. And what did he walk away? Sad. Not that you earn salvation by selling all you have and giving to the poor. Because if I did that, they wouldn't get much. You get a bunch of cool M&M decanters. That don't help you much. No, he was checking his heart. He wanted that young man to see he had not kept the commandments. He needed a redeemer to save him because he failed keeping those commandments. Jesus never made it easy. So now in this amazing passage where he's been going on and on and on about blessed are, blessed are, blessed are. Here's the blessed life. Here is the great life. He now adds one that would just blow us away. Verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad. What? For your reward is great in heaven because they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So Jesus has just shared with us, here is the blessed life. You're poor in spirit. You mourn over who you are. You are meek and you're not self-centered. You hunger and thirst for righteousness. You show mercy because you got mercy. You're pure in heart. You're not double-minded. You're living a holy life. You love making peace. You're not a person who just loves to fight and stir it up. All of those will lead to this. If you live like that, you will be persecuted. Come to our church. What would that slogan be? Wow. I ran down to the river last week sometime. And I ran by the Ford Center. And it was the day where the winter jam was in. But for those of you who are a little older, that's not something you put on bread and toast. Okay, that is, it's the music groups that come, I guess. And I'm no problem at all. But I have to be honest that last year when I saw it and this year when I ran by it, my heart grieves. Because 2, 3, 4, 5 hours before, people are lined up in the freezing cold to hear singing groups. And I just can't help to think, do we have that same passion for somebody to open the scriptures and say, thus says Jesus. Think about that. And maybe many of those people have that. I'm sure they do. But I can't help to think, when we arrive on Sundays, are we just can't wait to get here. I'm going to get here an hour and a half early. You don't have to. Will the crowds be lining up if we share the whole truth and nothing but the truth? Blessed are those who hurt for Jesus and who are persecuted. Because I'll be honest, I don't like to be persecuted. Do you? I don't. It kind of hurts. But we're going to see that what's going on the inside as Jesus works in your life will produce something that will happen on the outside. And again, this is not what the world would say is a blessed life. Not going to see many commercials today at the Super Bowl that says, drink Pepsi. Somebody will hit you in the face because of it. Eat Doritos because you will suffer persecution. No, they're going to make it look like this is the greatest thing ever. And by the way, this is the greatest thing ever. So again, look at our passage. Just go through this. Here's the declaration. Here's what Jesus said. Blessed. Jesus is presenting his kingdom. He is the king. And we've seen this just to kind of review real quick. This is foolish for untransformed hearts, but the heart that God has transformed through his Son Jesus Christ and the power of the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, this is not foolish. It is true, it is blessed, it is awesome, and by faith we accept it and we trust God to help us. He says, this is the pattern. You follow these things and you are blessed when you're persecuted. You are happy. You are envied. You rejoice. God's extending you his benefits. Remember what MacArthur said, to be blessed is not a superficial feeling of well-being based on your circumstances, but a deep supernatural experience of contentedness based on the fact that your life is right with God. No matter how many times you get hit, no matter how many times you get lied about, no matter how many jobs you lose because of your faith, you're content because your life is right with God. So let's go through this. Where's the when? When? When are we blessed? Verse 10. When persecution comes. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Notice the plural here. And still it's in a group setting. Blessed are my children are those who are persecuted. The word is dioko, which is a word which means to be aggressively chased like a hunter would chase a prey. Now, I have been chased out running before. I think I've shared that story, and it is not fun. Hopping fences, hiding around bushes, crying. I mean, it's just horrible. That's what this word is, dioko. It is being chased and being pursued, not so somebody can give you $1,000, but so somebody can hurt you, put you in jail, take your life. Blessed are those who are chased and hunted down. So right away we learn that kingdom living involves some kind of persecution, some kind of suffering. And I love that Jesus tells us the truth. He doesn't hide these things. He's not trying to build great crowds. He's wanting to bring disciples into his kingdom. Big difference. Big difference. He doesn't hide it. There is some kind of persecution coming. Suffering. Are you like me and you naturally want to avoid persecution? Do you remember as a kid? I do. Is it a little 9-volt battery? Did you ever have somebody walk up to you and go, hey, put your tongue in that? Anybody? You did it, didn't you? I did it. Man, it just zaps you. Did you do it again? Maybe once, just because it was kind of cool. But you thought, you know what? I'm not going to do that again. Did you ever have somebody walk up to you and put their finger right here? What's that? And you look down and hit you in the nose? You learn. If they say, what's that? You don't look down. You go, hey, what is that? Believe it or not, I changed a smoke alarm the other day, and I pulled that 9-volt battery out of there, and I thought, you know, if I stick my tongue in that, but I didn't do it, okay? I didn't. I'm 54. You can't stick your tongue in a 9-volt battery. Don't do that anymore. Men, have you ever said anything to your wife? Immediately you realized, I should not have said that. Don't do that anymore. Don't say that anymore. But, you know, sometimes we keep quiet at work, don't we? Because we know we might suffer. We know we might be ridiculed. We know we might be rejected or sharing Christ with family members. I've known people over the years who lived in sinful relationships because if they got married, they would lose government money. They weren't willing to suffer and do right. You see, there's something in us fallen creatures, even though we're redeemed, that kind of says, I really don't want to hurt. I don't want to stick my finger in the socket. I don't want somebody to reject me at work or in my family or in my neighborhood, in my running club or whatever you do. There's just something in us. So we need to trust Christ and embrace these truths and learn today what he has to tell us. And by the way, I remember for years kind of being taught that the church will never suffer. That's the biggest lie there ever was. The church is just going to be removed from all suffering. Have you read the New Testament? What's every book about? Learn to suffer. Prepare for suffering. And by the way, this is America, right? And it is coming. No matter what we say, don't know when it's coming, but it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. We dare not prepare to suffer and to believe what Jesus said. And many people who have just embraced the facts of the gospel and just want to go to heaven, you know, and they like the emotion of religion, What happens when persecution comes? We've seen this 1,000 times. Listen to Mark 4, 16 and 17 about the seeds. These are the seeds sown on the rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy. This is awesome. This is great. And they have no root in themselves. They never were truly saved. They endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution comes on account of the word, immediately they fall away. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. So there's the win. Now, why is there persecution? Look at verse 10. Jesus gives us two reasons. Blessed are those who are persecuted. The first one is for righteousness' sake. So we're not to suffer persecution because of dumb stuff we do. Did you ever do something dumb? You ever park on a driveway after you got home from work and it rolled down the icy hill into another car? I didn't, but Scott's son did. Okay. But I've done some pretty stupid stuff, and we all have. Peter says, don't suffer for that. Jesus qualifies it. Happy and content and blessed are my citizens of my kingdom and my children who are chased and pursued because of my kingdom values. For truth. Calvin said this, quote, we cannot be Christ's soldiers on any other condition than to have the greater part of the world rising in hostility against us and pursuing us even to death. The state of the matter is this. Satan, the prince of the world, will never cease to fill his followers with rage to carry on hostilities against the members of Christ. Don't ever forget that there's a roaring lion out there that hates Living Hope Church. It hates every person belong to that. It hates your marriage. He hates your kids. He hates everything about you. And his desire is to destroy you. And he will incite his followers to raise up against Jesus' followers to bring hurt and pain and suffering. And Jesus said, this is how you're blessed, because you follow the truth. Kingdom values. You care about what Jesus says. Well, what does Jesus say about it? What does my Father say about it? Well, you may suffer for following that. The King demands allegiance as Lord and Master. People don't like that, do they? Do we not live in the day and age where people say, you do not tell me what to do? Have your kids ever said that? People do not like for them to be told what to do, and especially God to tell them what to do. It's my body, and I'll do with what I want to with it. This King, this loving, gracious King, however, demands allegiance as Lord and Master. And those not a part of that kingdom will rise up against it and its followers. But look at the second reason why we suffer. Verse 11. And by the way, it's almost as if Jesus is saying, this is a double blessing. Because he repeats it twice, verse 10 and 11. It's like an Oreo cookie is good, but a double stuffed is even better. Blessed again are you when others revile you, and here it is again, persecute you and utter all kinds of evil on my account. So for kingdom values, now get this, for Jesus. For Jesus. We saw earlier there's a group of people that they like religion. It sounds kind of neat and cool until they are persecuted for it, because you will not suffer for what is not important to you. You just won't. So persecution comes, they say, forget that. I don't want to suffer. Jesus doesn't mean that much to me. But Jesus said, blessed are my followers who are persecuted because they love me. You see, kingdom citizens are different. And even in all of our struggles and failures, you ever have struggles and failures? Oh, yeah. Did you ever keep your mouth closed when you knew you should have spoke? Oh, yeah. Did you ever compromise when you knew you shouldn't have? Oh, yeah. So we do fail like Peter. And that's, I think, in your community group book this week is a question about that. Even in our failures, we don't walk away. Why? Because Jesus is much more than a religious fad. Jesus is much more than just looking good in the community because I went to church. Jesus is so much more to us than being on a membership list at a church, so when we die, the paper can say, Joe Smicatelli was a member of Living Hope Church, the church where you lie, you die. But he didn't lie, he just died. Okay, whatever it says, And I know people like that. I just got to have my name on the list. That's not church membership. That's ridiculousness. But you see, Jesus said, blessed are you if you'll love me and you'll suffer for me. For me. Because Jesus is much more than a crutch, much more than a fad. He's much more than a genie in the bottle to give me what I want. And I think, most of all, quote unquote, the church in the year 2016, most, for a lot of people, God is just a genie. Make my job better, make my marriage better, give me money, give me the best car, give me a great retirement, just make my kids great, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. And Jesus comes along and says, no, blessed are those who are chased and beaten because they love me. And your marriage may get worse. You may lose your job on account of me. You may get cancer. Your loved one may die. Your kids may turn on Jesus. Nothing may ever seem to work out for you, but you don't walk away because you are persecuted for me. I'm always reminded of John 66 through 69. Jesus is speaking some great truths. Jesus said, you cannot come to my Father if he doesn't bring you. They hated it back then. People hate that truth today. Listen to this. After this, many of his disciples turned back and walked, no longer walked with him. Isn't that something? Wouldn't you think that Jesus' church would be packed? Wouldn't you think that Jesus would have multitudes of followers? He had multitudes, but most of them were superficial. Gimme, 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 gimme. And he said, you're only following me because I made some bread for you and I multiplied the fishes. But when Jesus began preaching some deep stuff, you are so worthless and you are such a sinner that you could not even come to me if my Father didn't draw you. What? How darest thou talkest to me and thou dwayest? And many turned back and walked no longer with him. And Jesus, this amazing teacher, turned to the 12. One being Satan's, Judas, but he turned to the 12. And he asked this amazing question, do you want to leave me as well? Simon Peter said, Lord, where should we go? Where can we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. You see, we are willing to suffer for kingdom values. And on account of our love for Jesus, even though we will fail. But when we do fail, we are broken about it. Because we realize that even if we're suffering because we stood up for Jesus at work or in our family or in our neighborhood or in our club, that there is no place else to go. Where are you going to go? There's no place else to go. I love this account in Revelation 20, verse 4. John said, I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded. Beheaded. Why? For exactly what Jesus said in Matthew 5. For the testimony of Jesus and for kingdom values, the word of God. Isn't that amazing? Here are people who are murdered, capital punishment in a sinful way, only because they loved kingdom values and they loved Jesus, and they knew there was no place else to go. Because if you walk away from Jesus, what do you go to? Your boss? Your boss will dump you in a heartbeat if you got a chance. How about the United States of America government? I'll turn to the government. They'll save me. I'll turn to my good looks. And if you're like me, as you got older, you kind of start losing them, but not too much. That's what people do. But Peter, wow, and all his failures, what wisdom, Lord. There's nowhere else to go. And these people loved kingdom values, and they loved Jesus, and they were murdered, and Jesus would look at them and say, you are blessed. Because class death here for a believer means what? You just go home. You just go home. Wow, what a beautiful place that is. And he's going to talk about that in a second. So that's the why. But what does persecution involve? You ready for this? other people. I know life would be great if there were nobody else on the planet, right? I don't think that's true because I've known some people in solitary confinement and they hated it. Other people. And by the way, it is very personal. In fact, look at verse 11. Jesus switches something here. In all of these Beatitudes, he always made it a group. Blessed are the meek, blessed are the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and even persecuted. But notice in verse 11, what does he do? He repeats a personal pronoun four times. He makes it now personal. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you. Four times he changes from just group to each one of us individually a part of his kingdom. You. But notice this also. He says here in verse 11, blessed are you when. That doesn't mean that Christians and kingdoms of the, or citizens of the kingdom, were always persecuted. We're always suffering. Aren't you glad for that? So it doesn't mean that it's just, you know, if you're not 24/7 having something go wrong, that, oh, gee, Lord, I failed you today. When it comes. There was, in Acts, the church had rest for a while, did it not? So we want to clarify that. Thank God for that grace. But when it comes, and it will come for the word of God in Jesus. But notice what's going to happen from these other people in verse 11. And don't forget this. Happy are you, content are you, joyful are you when other people revile you. That word means insult you, mock you, or curse you. You go to work and they go, there's that blankety blank Christian again, and you hear it. Man, praise God. You go there and they take your lunch out of the refrigerator and, you know, and they spit on it and put the bread back on there and they're watching you while you eat and you know to look and you ruin my lunch again. Praise God. Blessed are you when people make fun of you and mock you and insult you because of kingdom values and because you love me, Jesus. That doesn't make sense, does it? What do you normally do when people mock you and insult you and make fun of you? Let's go, right? Let's go. I'm not a fighter. I'm a runner. I run away. Look at the second thing. Persecute you. That's the same Greek word as in the previous verse 10. To aggressively chase you. Somebody can't stand you at work, in your family, in whatever you are. They can't stand you because of what you stand for. Everybody at work figured out a way to cheat the time cards, but in order for it to work to full management, every worker has to agree to do it, and you say, I can't do it. Oh, yeah? We're going to make your life miserable. Bring it on. And they chase you, and they hunt you, and they hate you. The third one, blessed are you when they utter all kinds of evil against you falsely. In other words, they lie about you. They willfully misrepresent you to hurt you. Hey, who did this? Joe did it. Blame him. He's the Christian. He's the one that's always telling us things about God we don't want to hear. He won't lie with us so we can leave an hour early. He did it. You know what's absolutely amazing about these three things that Jesus mentioned? Jesus is the Creator, the Eternal One, the Omnipotent One, the Savior, the Master, the Lord. He faced every one of these himself. Listen to 1 Peter 2, 21 to 25. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, purpose, so that you might follow in his steps. Okay, what did he do? He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, isn't that what he said in Matthew 5? He did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He was persecuted. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Did they not lie about Jesus to call him guilty? He suffered all of that. He suffered and he was wounded. He died. By his stripes you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, you have now been returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. All these things he calls us to do as king, he has already done them. Have you ever worked for a boss who refused to do anything but made you do it? And sometimes you can't help that, but I know when I've been a boss, I actually did what everybody else did. It was amazing how my workers worked for me. They just, man, we laughed and we worked hard and had a great time. Jesus does not come and say, all right, Hosey, all right, Barnhart, Thackeray, Denton, Gray, Benton, Denton and Benton, Hudson, Andrex, Nesbitt, whatever your new last name is. I forget. Your husband's name is Chris, but I forgot your last name. Tell me what it is.
Doling.
No wonder I forgot it. No, just kidding. All right, Dolings. All right, Garrett. Now I forgot why I was going through those names. Well, what was that? Why did I go through those names? Oh, your boss is calling you out. I still don't have any idea what I was talking about. I hate it when that happens. You feel like you're out on the ledge and everybody's staring at you and you're naked. You just feel horrible. The what again? Ah, there you go. Yeah, thank you. See, Sharon's a sharp one. Yeah, so he calls you out and you go do that. But I'm not going to dare get my hands dirty. I'm not going to dare because I'm up here. And you're just yuck. You're just nothing to me. Isn't it amazing that our Savior is our King and Master? He came and took the form of man and faced everything we'll face a million times more. That's a king to follow, is it not? That's a king and savior. Listen to this. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. 2 Timothy 3, 12 and 13. But here's some exciting news here. Evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse. Isn't that exciting? Well, I'm going to be persecuted, and the bad people are going to get worse and worse and worse. Lord, what a world to live in. That's what the Bible says. Philippians 1, 29 and 30. It has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Engage in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. Isn't that something? What church slogan would that be? I dare say people would drive by that and go, that's about the dumbest thing I ever heard. Where's the wealth and the health and the prosperity? Where's all the good stuff I'm supposed to get? So then class, next, what's our response? Look at verse 12. And before I tell you the response, although you've probably already read it. These are, in the Greek, present tense imperatives. In other words, they're a command. In other words, always, I command you always. Look at this, it's unbelievable. It doesn't make sense, but it does. All of I've just told you, rejoice and be glad. We sing, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Do we really know what we're singing? Because persecution may come. And these Greek words mean to delight in God, and the word for rejoice means to actually jump and leap. What? Exalt in celebration because you're experiencing joy because you get persecuted. You see, this doesn't make sense to people who are not redeemed. This doesn't make sense. On the surface. Now listen, Jesus is not asking his followers to stand up at a funeral service and start whooping and hollering, you know. Don't do that. Woohoo! You know? No. He's not asking the teenage girl who just got hurt because that boy rejected her because of her faith, you know, to be, you know, just, whoa! I loved him and he refuses to repent and praise God! This is wonderful. Doesn't mean you can't hurt. It doesn't mean that we call for a party when our children curse our God and rebel from him. But there's a deep-seated joy and gladness that we get to suffer the same way as our King. Because we have something the world doesn't have. A divine union with the Savior and King. Listen to Philippians 3. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Wow. Would we lose our job standing up for kingdom values and for Jesus? Would that couple get married and lose a lot of government money because they love Jesus and kingdom values? Are we willing to lose our supposed dignity or the respect we think we have? Or do we consider things loss? For this sake, I have suffered the loss of all things. I count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ, be found in Him, not a righteousness of my own that comes from supposedly keeping the law. But if you could keep it, you would have righteousness. But that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that depends upon faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and I may share in His sufferings. I got to tell you, that's a spirituality. I wonder if we're there. I wonder if I'm there. I get to share and do the same thing Jesus did. We hear Jesus was king and owned a cattle on a thousand. Here's hills. And He wants that for you. Yes, I want that. Jesus died, was persecuted, lied, spit on, the spear in His side. He was whipped. He was brutally beaten. He was made fun of. That's for you. I think I'll take the cattle on a thousand hills. That's a lot easier. I want to share with that Jesus. So moving on, about finished. How can we rejoice and be glad? Here it is. 1 and 2, children on your papers there. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. And then secondly, verse 12, your reward is great in heaven. It doesn't say we earn it. It says it is. It's a fact. It is. You don't earn it. Grace stops if we earn anything. You know, when I thought about this, I thought how easy it is to live for now instead of the day that's coming. And I've said it before, and I'll probably say it again, that I get so upset with myself when I care about things I shouldn't care about. Like a game on tonight. It's fun. I enjoy it. But I find myself caring about things that don't matter. You see, it's so easy for me to live for now. And again, I'm not saying that's wrong to enjoy pastimes and things in the right way. It's fun. You can get a lot of good dip with chips. But do you ever find yourself missing this and you're living for today? And Jesus doesn't go into a lot of detail here about heaven and the kingdom of heaven. I think we don't have a clue about heaven. I don't. Jesus is there and that makes it heaven, but I'll tell you, just hang on real quick. I'm about done. I want to read some verses here in Hebrews 11. But He does say, great is your reward, great in heaven, the word polis, which means much, many, multitudes. I got a bunch of stuff for you, not now, but then. But I want it now, right? Hey, yeah. Now, there is blessing now. He says it here. Then, Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. Whoops. I'll find it in a second. Here's talking about some of these people that lived by, well, all these people lived by faith. They were promised the land and so forth from God. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised. Well, that's exciting. But having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, they were living for the ultimate fulfillment way, way out there, heaven. Isn't that amazing? But as it is, they desired a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Wow. They're suffering for my kingdom values and for my Son. I am their God. And on this planet, maybe they have nothing. And nobody would ever, you know, put their obituary on the 6 o'clock news because they died or whatever it is. But I am their God. in verse 36 to 40. Listen to some of these people who live by faith. What happened to them? Others received millions of dollars. Their marriages were just absolutely perfect. Their businesses flourished. They were popular. No, others suffered mocking, flogging, chains, imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in half. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated. I guess they just didn't have enough faith, huh? Oh, they had faith. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered about in deserts and mountains and in dens in the caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised because they were looking for the ultimate fulfillment. Since God has provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. That simply means we'd all engage in that heavenly city. How do we rejoice and be glad? Because we don't live for now, we live for then. Isn't that what Jesus did? For the joy that was set before him, Hebrews 12, he endured the cross. So it's an example of Jesus. Back in Matthew 5, it was an example of the prophets that went before them, that they were in the covenant promise following God. So it's Jesus' example, the prophets' examples, the saints of old, and it should be ours. Then is much better than now. All right, we're landing the plane. You've listened well. I've gone a long time, but this is so important. Jesus said, you're blessed now, and you'll be persecuted now. Heaven is ours, and great will be our reward. Not living for now, but living for then, but also living for now because of then. Does that make sense? And I thought of this. Loyalty to Christ is the Christian's... Now, this is MacArthur. I wish I would have thought of it. Loyalty to Christ is the Christian's only true choice. To be prepared for kingdom life is to be prepared for loneliness, misunderstanding, ridicule, rejection, and unfair treatment of every sort. Persecution is a part of the kingdom, and you are blessed. Here's a song that's an oldie, but a goodie. This would not fit with any wealth, health, and prosperity teaching, I'll tell you that. It's as if Christ is speaking. He says, so send I you to labor unrewarded. I didn't get my name in a bulletin. Nobody knew that I did that. I preached a whole message and nobody said one word. I taught those children and they just talked and didn't even listen and they're throwing spit wads. And I gave all week, I gave 10 minutes Saturday night to study. Come on, let's drop our little angelic junk and be real, right? You ever get upset when you weren't recognized? Or maybe I recognize somebody else and you're sitting there, I'll get him. See if I do that again for him. Well, if you're doing it for him, you're not doing it for him. And I'm talking to me too. You know that. You've known me long enough. So send I you to labor unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, and unknown.
But I want to be known.
To bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing. So send I you to toil for me alone. So send I you to bind the bruised and broken, or wandering souls to work, to weep, to wake. I tell you, one of the most discouraging things I do is to go to the jail and preach. Oh. But I cannot help to think of this and this principle. I send you to the bruised and the broken. And I know 99% of them could care less, but there might just be that one. Over wandering souls to work, to weep, to wake, to bear the burdens of a world aweary. So send I you to suffer for my sake. So send I you to loneliness and longing, with heart a-hungering for the loved and known, forsaking home and kindred, friend and dear one. So send I you to know my love alone. So send I you to leave your life's ambition.
I want to do this.
But God says, I'm calling you to this. To die to dear desires, self-will resign. To labor long and love where men revile you. So send I you to lose your life and mine. So send I you to hearts made hard by hatred, to eyes made blind because they will not see, to spend, though it be blood, to spend and spare not. And I think this last line says it all. So send I you to taste of Calvary. Wow. That's what he calls for you and me. That's what he calls. So if you are here today and religion is all you got, maybe you're even mad at God. Why didn't you give me what I thought? It's amazing the people that come in and out of here over the years and other places, and they come and they share, I've got this great need, and then they hear the truth and you never see them again because it wasn't a quick fix. It was to labor and toil and pray and earnestly deny self. Well, I don't want that. I don't want that. Just fix my problem.
I can't.
But the King can. I send you to taste of death and persecution. And if Jesus is your King and Savior, you'll never walk away. You might fail. Father, oh, this is deep stuff and beyond me for sure. Each one of us face potential of failing every day and of hiding our faith because we know it's going to hurt. We're going to be persecuted. We're going to be ridiculed. We're going to suffer. Someone might think we're just a nut. Thank you for grace for our failures. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for the heart desire that you give us that changed our soul, that enables us to continue and say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Give us the strength and courage to be willing to be persecuted for Jesus, to taste of Calvary when it comes. For Lord, we know that persecution is a test of the genuineness of our faith that you gave to us. So, Lord, strengthen your kingdom citizens today and your children. And, Father, if there is anyone here today that knows truth, they've heard it, they like it, they've kind of tasted it, but yet you've yet to open their heart, if persecution came, they'd say, this ain't worth it. God, they need you to change them today. So as we sing this song, may your Spirit take the words of Christ and touch us in a very powerful and deep way. I pray that throughout this room there be some confessing of sin, confessing of failures, confessing of the desire to not go to Calvary. And I pray that maybe someone would say, have mercy on my soul. Work, Father, as you see fit through your Spirit as we sing and in the days ahead. In Christ's name.